time we can discuss it after. I'll try not to take up too much. So what I want to talk about is something which I'm sure Gillian will find exciting and new. It's a joint work with Gillian on how do we call it, permutations of maybe the more general question is to try to understand to what extent the property of absorbing the strongly self-absorbing feature of the passes through cross products. It's some preliminary partial result in this direction. I guess Michael did already define strongly self-absorbing feature algebra. I'll repeat it quickly, but I'll try to do it in case someone skipped it off. So let's suppose we have B is uniform. Second of all, we call it it's called it's a map from D to D tension D given by one of the coordinate dimensions is approximately unitarily equivalent to an isomorphism and it particularly assuming D is more than D tensor D. And those conditions don't matter which tensor product you pick. It would follow from this definition that the algebra is nuclear. So you take your favorite one. It's going to be the minimal anyway. Well, we've seen the list of examples, learning examples here. UHS algebra of infinite time by that we mean all the primes if they appear, they appear infinite many times. We have the Jang 2 algebra and then we have O2, O infinity and O infinity tensor in UHS. Okay. Those are the only examples, and of course very interesting to know if there are any other ones. But even if there are other ones, there aren't too many of them. The more common property is for you to absorb one of these. Okay, so this is fairly common situation. And in that original paper of Thoms and Winter, it was shown that these things are the property of absorbing one of these passes to various standard constructions. You might assume K1 injectivity for some of them. I don't want to be too technical. But for example, if you take if you take an algebra which absorbs D, where D is certainly one of these or anything satisfying the definition, and before you take hereditary subalgebra or inductive limit, a quotient, or an extension, then that property will remain. If you take an extension of one by the other, then the extension will also be the absorbing extension. So on, and the natural question to ask in addition to the thing is what about cross products? We have a deabsorbing algebra, we have a group acting in it, we form the cross product, is the result deabsorbing again or not? Of course, we might have to make some reasonable assumption of the group. in some sense, it's very easy to find examples of actions which satisfy, for which the answer is yes. Well, aside from the trivial action where the answer is yes. If we, let's focus on Z, for example. Let's take Z to be the group to represent the integer component. So we have an automorphism. And okay, now we know that A is morphic to A tensor D. Now, if let's say this automorphism splits into an automorphism of A tensor the identity on D, then trivially the cross product would absorb D. That's very easy. A is the big beta tensor against G of D, then clearly, it's absorbing. Okay, that's a trivial exercise. But actually, these kinds of automorphisms are fairly, in a sense, are fairly general. They're actually dense. Okay, that's very easy to see. I won't go through the details, it's just an exercise. But even if alpha is not a dead form, alpha can be written as a limit, a point called limit. Of an automorphism. Of the form where theta n is some isomorphism between A and A tensor D. Let's save time and not go through the proof. The proof is very simple. It's an easy exercise. And so that means that if you look at a set of automorphisms, which is a point norm topology, the ones for which the answer is yes is dense. And actually, it's pretty easy to show it's even G delta. We can somehow ask for local conditions. This is the one line proof, or maybe three line proof. We don't need this to be precisely true. All we need is for any finite set in A, we should have an embedding of D into the algebra, such that maybe I've already done it. After all, it's easier to say it this way. More generally, these kinds of automorphisms. Of the form satisfy that for any epsilon any finite set and any finite set there exists an embedding. Let's assume for simplicity in the universal, just to avoid complications, they will turn it down. There exists an embedding such that, C of x, y is small. And these are almost fixed. Okay. And conversely, if you satisfy this property, if this property is satisfied for any epsilon, any s, and any and fine doesn't necessarily imply that, at least I can't see why it would imply immediately that this is true, but in any event, it's enough to show that the cross product is the absorbing. The reason on this is these conditions in open condition. So this shows that the set of all automorphisms which satisfy this condition, this is an open set and also dense. And if A is separable, D is separable, what we get is a set of all automorphisms for which the cross product is the absorbing is dense D delta, so it's somehow generic. Okay, of course that doesn't mean much, the generically all numbers are transcendental. All continuous functions are nowhere differentiable and things like that. So the question is, what about certainly more interesting question is, it always true that we get the absorption? I should also mention that what I wrote here is actually a trivial statement. They didn't use any properties of Z here. It could have used any discrete countable group. So this is a statement which is true for any discrete countable group. So you mean that's supposed to mean that the statement is trivial. It's a general principle thing that if it's true, then it has to be. Okay, so let's start with something slightly less trivial. If we go back to more avoid crazy groups, let's just look at things like Z or finite groups. It's not hard to construct examples where the answer is no. For instance, so in general, this is. Give a simple example. If you take A to be the bridges to infinity, your set algebra, and we look at this. So this is one of those the absorbing algebra that absorbs itself. We can look at the approximate inner automorphism given the conjugation. They add, u, tensor u. Okay, this is not the real unitary, but approximate inner one. Approximate inner automorphism where u is, say, u has to be some 3x3 matrix. Let's take it to be 1, 1, minus 1. Okay, so this is actually an order 2 action. And now, since this action is not, if we just think of this as an action of Z mod 2, this action is not inner. It's only approximately inner, so the cross product is simple, and therefore is more equivalent to the 6 points of algebra. Now, so if this were the absorbing, we'd be able to embed this, and in particular, in the 3x3 matrices into the 6 points of algebra, and therefore we'd be able to embed the 3x3 matrices into some finite 6 points of algebra of some finite parts, which is simply the commutant of this standard unitary. And then you just check that the commutant of this unitary is not of the right form. It's a direct sum of matrix algebras whose size is not determinable by 3. It's a very easy combinatorial computation. Okay, if we just look at the first factor, then we just get the commutant of this unitary that's n2 plus complex numbers. You can't admit n3 there. Then you say, well, what if we take another copy? Well, when you do a computation, you get to get M5 plus M4 or something. Well, if you do that yourself, M3 is not embedded there, and do a simple induction to show that you can never do it. So that's not hard and not very tenuous, so that even though generically it's true, typically it's not. And of course, if you say, well, Z mod 2 is a strange group, what about Z? Here you actually have a K-theory construction. For Z, you don't have a K-theory construction. But if you can just think of this as an action as a periodic action of the integers from the cross product, the Z mod 2 action cross product is a quotient. And the absorption passes the quotient, so it couldn't be, so the cross product of Z cannot be, cannot absorb this algebra. Okay, and there are also they wouldn't be fined. You can find counter examples for the U6 algebra. And for O2, there are examples of finite group actions in O2 whose such as the cross product of non-trivial K theories. I don't know what happened with O infinity and with Z. For O infinity, these were finite groups. A finite group, if you take a finite group action in O infinity, the cross product is a finite direct sum of purely of the nuclear purely infinity trial, so it has to be O infinity of perfect. So actually for O infinity, if you take an action of a finite group in O infinity, the cross product has to be O infinity of perfect. So it's an interesting question of whether Z behaves more like O infinity or more like a UHS algebra.
Okay. And actually, the second thing I don't know is whether, I mean, here we have a Z2 action on M3
to the infinity. I don't know if there's an example for a Z2 action on M2 to the infinity. Maybe someone here knows, but. So, I don't know whether an action of Z2 on M2 to the infinity, because the cross product does not absorb M2 to the infinity. Okay. So now there are, but since in any event, since there are counterexamples, the question should be, and we know typically the narrative is true, but we have counterexamples. The question, maybe a better question is for a generic statement, is trying to find some reasonable conditions we could verify which guarantee that something which is true, that we have permanence. So, necessary. Well, I wouldn't say and, but let's say or. Okay, find conditions which guarantee that we have absorption. Okay, so one such condition is the Rossum property. That we know that if we have an action of finite group or more than a compact group or Z or R which has a Rossum property, then the absorption is preserved. And in particular, and for finite groups, I'll define the Rossum property for finite groups. So let the Z act on A by alpha. Alpha will be known the action. We say that the action have the Rossum property if we have a central sequence of partitions of unity which are permuted by the group action. So there exists projections. They add up one the group action almost permutes them and they almost commute with this given six.
You want to one of the GH
yes. Better? Yeah. Okay. and this is a great property for the use of propane tanks. For instance, not only the absorption path to actually have their own property, same could be done for, well, proximity visibility, but also for a whole list of conditions. Maybe they won't list them. There's some paper itself where it proves if A is AS and we have a finite group acting with the Rosen property, then the resulting, the cross product is AS. If the algebra is AT, then the cross product is AT, so on and so forth. Modify the, there's some paper, some paper of Phillips and the Slocker which haven't been approved. You can also get this for the composition rank. If A has the composition rank less or equal to N, then the cross product has the composition rank less or equal to N. You just modify the trivial modification of the argument of Phillips. But the problem, so that's great. The only problem is that, well, for the integers or R, that's nice because the Rosen property is fairly common. You encounter it in many situations. For finite groups, the Rosen property is actually pretty rare. Not generic. It really doesn't. There are serious instructions for it to have any action which has a Rosen property on a certain t-shirt, but there are no finite group actions with the Rosen property on O infinity, for instance. And certainly the Jang-Chu algebra, which it didn't define, but Michel did. So, the Jang-Chu algebra was property and has no projections. So clearly, if you look at an action of any action on the Jang-Chu algebra, cannot possibly have the Rosen property for even more trivial reasons. So, again, to try to see what might happen with the Jang-Chu algebra, we need to study some examples, and that's what I want to talk about. So we have some permutations. So let's suppose that G is a finite group now. Let's suppose that G is a finite group which acts on some finite thing. Well, then we have an induced action. Well, an infinite tensor power of any algebra, but
that's right.
Right, just by permuting the tensor factors. And we can actually do that, of course, for G acting on any group acting on any countable set, of course. So what if we try to study these actions? I mean, this gives us an example of an action on the Jang-Chu algebra. So if A is a cross product. When we look at this kind of a permutation action,
this seems more natural, of course, from the perspective of forming yourself a Jordan tensor algebra. I mean, we know that D is more D tensor D. We have an obvious automorphism of D tensor D that splits the two tensor factors. I mean, you'd hope that should be the absorbing, otherwise something's wrong.
Now, I should say that for trivial infinity, it's pretty easy to construct tons of V2 actions, for example, just by doing whatever you want on the factor, although they're going to be pretty similar. If you think about them.
For the Jang-Chu algebra, I don't actually know of any other example of finite group action.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that there's only one, but I just don't know how to construct any other example. Okay, V is no projection, so it doesn't have any inner actions. It has no finite order unit trees. It doesn't have any finite order unit trees in the building blocks which are used to build it. So I actually don't know if there are any other examples.
I imagine it seems worthwhile to analyze these examples independently of whether this is true or false.
And
Okay.
So the theorem we have is that, well, so if you want to answer this question, A is isomorphic to A tends to G, right?
So if A to Bn is isomorphic to A tends to G in time, and the action is split into an action of this and an action of this. So we're going to just answer that as the question for this.
And now let's run through the list of known examples. For O infinity, as I said, we have this O infinity, the cross product of O infinity by any finite group, no matter what the action is, O infinity gets torque. That's a general fact, we don't need it. For O2, this kind of naturally has a Russell property. That's appears in paper of Izumi. Correct? And so the cross product for that reason has the Russell property. So if we want to have an annoying proof, which doesn't actually prove this from the definition, but actually runs through the examples, we only need to look at stably finite examples, as the UHS algebra and the Sang-Sue algebra. And unfortunately, that's what we have at the moment. We don't have a proof from it. It would be nice to just have a definition and have a proof which uses the definition to prove this, but I don't know how to do that. It's very tempting to fall into the trap of trying to approximate it with things which obviously work, but that's a trap. It doesn't help. The answer is yes, if D is one of the moving examples. So maybe I'll quickly tell you what the proof goes. So starting with UHS algebras, you see, actually this kind of an action on the UHS algebra is kind of a tensor product action, but not exactly the form, but tensor product action could be tricky. I mean, we have to be careful what kind of tensor product action we have. So the way it works is so let's suppose that first of all we have D but the UHS algebra. And what we want to do is we have a group acting on this, like permuting factors, and we want to show the cross product absorbs that thing. It's enough to show that we can embed this algebra or even just MP into the fixed point of alpha. Okay, that's easy to see. The fixed point of algebra. And of course, this contains we may as well act by all the permutations, right? So we can assume that G is just a full permutation group. And this is, of course, an infinite tensor product repeated in times. If we can embed it there, we could also embed it into what would happen if it's a finite number. So it's enough to embed MP into I'll write like this, into the K for some large list K. Right? This is just MP tensor MP into K times. I should mention that typically we cannot embed MP into the tensor product only if you don't put an extra K here. You can't embed M2 into the slip on M2 tensor M2. That's an easy exercise. But you can embed it into M4 tensor M4. And to prove this, we have to use some basic representation theory. What is this? Well,
that's right. Let's take G, since G is high dimensional vector space. Okay, so M P to the K is just G of V, and this is naturally isomorphic to this. The permutation acting here is given by the permutation here. It's just an inner automorphism, right? It's an inner, this group action is given by taking unit trees here, which permutes the tensor factors of B. Alpha G is just add U G, where U G of V1 tensor Vn is the V1 tensor. This fixed point of algebra is going to be the commutant. Okay, and this is simply a sum over all your initial representations of it. N, where these are the multiplicity. Okay, so we just need to show that for sufficiently large source of k here, we can guarantee that t divides all these. And, that's not hard to do. You just need to use some open representation theory book and read some theorems and realize that. Can compute it without too much difficulty. Okay, so what about the Jankson algebra? Okay, so for the same argument, we want to embed V into unitally, into this fixed point of algebra. We know that Z contains this Z P infinity Q infinity, right? Remind you, this is a function from 0, 1 to M P to the infinity tensor M Q to the infinity, where P and Q are coprime, such that f of 0 is up to here, and f of 1 so of course it's enough to embed it into we may as well replace this into the fixed point system algebra, we take this instead. Okay, what's that? Well, this object was, kind of obviously the way it's written, is continuous field of future algebras, of UHF algebras, over sitting over the interval. Think about it for a second, you see this is a continuous field sitting over the cube.
algebra. Okay. Good thing is field, if you set algebra over that, there's some obvious what sits over each point. And the fiber. So you set algebra. Over the okay, so now we take a look for a long second, because the fixed points of algebra fits over, we have an obvious action of x, m, and this, and the fixed points of algebra fits over the quotient. Where delta x. Okay? And now if you think about it, the fibers we get here are just the ones we studied before. Those kind of set algebra was acted on by some finite group by permutations. Fibers as studied before. They're one of these, depending on what point we're looking at. For instance, to clarify it, say if n equals 2, then we somehow have something sitting over the square. What we do is what the g2 action would do, in this case, f2, would fold the square. So of course, we can simply identify point here with point here. We have very funny boundary conditions, but we also have some new conditions on the diagonal. Right, because the point diagonal is perfect, so to speak, but the underlying point, but we are flipping the fiber. So on the fiber, we'd actually have some, the fiber would split into this fixed point algebra, whatever it is. Well, whatever it is, it absorbs a unit set algebra like what we showed before. So, in particular, each fiber absorbs the unit set algebra, and therefore also Z, right? Because any unit set algebra absorbs Z. Fiber in the relevant algebra absorbs G, and this underlying space, the underlying set, is finite dimensional. Right, that's obvious too. Therefore, now then we can apply this theorem, and that'll state that, and that'll be it. The result. From general theorem, which was appeared, I guess we just got fresh reprint paper with Mikael and Jensen, which shows that if we have a C of X algebra, I'm assuming separable X finite dimensional. Each fiber is deabsorbing, then A is deabsorbing, assuming A1 injectivity, which I was right here, so that applies and we can, and the result follows from this theorem. Let's say that, of course, you could use this to get other groups, for example, the infinite symmetric group acting on the integers that follows immediately from this theorem. What's interesting, and I don't know, is what happens with the tensor shift. If you take the tensor product of Z infinitely many times indexed by some group, let's say by the integers, we have a shift action. I don't know if that, if it corresponds with that, is the absorbing. So maybe I'll end here.
information about what happens if you maybe just have a facial off on property?
Yeah, so the answer is no. In general, I mean, for not for Z, for Z, I don't know. For UHF algebras, the answer is no. Well, sorry, I have an example of something in the report that doesn't have, I don't think that has a tensor or something, but you can easily modify it. You can take a tensor product action. So if you take a tensor product action on the UHF algebra, and the unit tree has two eigenvalues, if the difference between the, you somehow want the quotient between the multiplicities to tend to one fast enough, that would have a tensor property. But you can easily arrange stuff by making sure they don't agree. One would be 2 and one would be 1 modulo 3, that this cross product would not be increased in this order. For Z, it's an interesting question, I don't know.
I think it's the same as asking for a direct group of C sort of C for a certain
series. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Thank you.